For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay, happy Friday to everybody. That's our normal Friday theme. Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I just don't know and don't feel right continue to play that upbeat music today with the news, obviously, that broke overnight and this morning about Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew and their tragic passing last night. Of course, Johnny Gaudreau, known as Johnny Hockey, for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Calgary Flames, and they were apparently riding their bicycle in New Jersey on the eve of their sister's wedding, which would have been today then. Apparently, you know, depending on what time it happened, maybe the wedding's tomorrow, but they're there for that and struck and killed. And there's been numerous reports that the person who struck them was under the influence. And I don't know exactly where all that stands right now. That's, you know, the investigation and legal process playing out in that regard. But in the meantime, obviously an unimaginable tragedy. And that's what, you know, the NHL and teams around the league and their families and everybody else is calling it and thinking about it. And it's just there's no way to put into words, right? Which I'm trying to do here. So I'll read you the statement from the Buffalo Sabres. They tweeted this morning, quote, "We are completely heartbroken for the Gaudreau family, Johnny and Matthew's friends and loved ones, the Columbus Blue Jackets organization, and the entire hockey community. The Sabres organization sends all of our love and prayers during this unimaginably difficult time." So start a show today like this, and it's always, you know, something on my mind when I do a talk show, which is, you know, we talk about sports and it's a Friday and feel good and happy. And then something like this happens and it kind of, you know, puts it into perspective. It also puts you in a spot where I don't love being like upbeat coming on the radio talking about it when the entire sports world, something we love to do, something we love to talk about, you know, is talking about and dealing with this today. And it's just as I said, unimaginable tragedy, right? So we do have a story at our website, WGR550.com, and obviously there's a lot more coverage of this around, you know, the sports scene and around the news cycle. So I'm sure that you're going to be reading about it a little bit more today, and, you know, we'll fill you in any more details do come out about the passing of Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Gaudreau. Okay. It is a Friday, and it is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. A lot to get to today. Going to talk today at 10:30 a.m. today with Syracuse University Athletic Director John Wildhack. We try to do this every year with John Wildhack. He's the Syracuse AD. Syracuse opens their football season tomorrow against Ohio at home in the Fran Brown era. But the reason I like to bring John on is because obviously we have a lot of people who follow Syracuse athletics. Of course, we have a lot of people who went to Syracuse in Buffalo in the media. You know, Jeremy, me, there's a lot of people, you know, on TV. I always say throw a dart in any media market and you're going to hit somebody who went to Syracuse. And, you know, but the biggest thing is I always like to bring him on to talk about he's, you know, the AD at a Power Five conference. And, you know, one of the closest ones here to Western New York, if not the closest. And he will give us and he can give us a perspective on what's happening in college athletics, the NIL situation, the portal, the NCAA versus House ruling of $20 million that, you know, is got to go to all the athletes. I mean, these are things that we'll explain and he'll explain and how Syracuse is dealing with it, how college athletics is dealing with it, realignment, TV contracts. And then, of course, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the Syracuse football game and the new seating at the Dome if you're going to a game this year. So we'll do that with Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack at 10:30 this morning. At 11 a.m., Alex Brasky joins me from Batavia News and the Buffalo Bills Digest. And we'll just wrap about the Bills a little bit. What do you expect? What have you seen heading into week number one, which it's here, folks, next week, week number one, right? NFL, here we go. Let's rock and roll. Last night, college football, 30 games, including, by the way, UB. Great win last night in the Pete Lembo era to start off the Pete Lembo era, beating Lafayette. It was not even a really, UB kind of just took control right away. What was the final score? Let me grab this for you here. What was the final score yesterday? There we go. 30-13. Just want to make sure I said that right. But they took control right away. Scored a touchdown. Backed it up. I mean, really, the only thing that they had a misplay on special teams. And obviously, I could tell you today, I guarantee you, Pete Lembo and his team and his staff, you know, that's like the great situation when you're a coach. You win a game pretty comfortably, but you have a lot of things that you can get after your team about. And he's a special teams guy. And they had the punt that was blocked, and ultimately Lafayette scored, and that's something he can get after his team about, but still be 1-0 after a 30-13 victory over Lafayette. So they opened up the season on a really, really good note. Then we have NFL action, obviously starting next week with a lot more college football on the schedule this weekend, your Labor Day weekend. Speaking of Labor Day, at 11:30 today, Pat Hammer's going to join me, and we will talk about your Labor Day weekend forecast. I want to open up the phone lines at 803-0550 before we'll do something a little different today. We're going to take a little bit earlier break here in about 10 minutes from now so I can have a little more time with John Wildhack after we get to the bottom of the hour. So we'll do that. 803-0550 is the number to call here on WGR and the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And yesterday, the Bills had a couple practice squad moves. It's, you know, I get it. Like, whenever they make a move, I am immediately, there's a lot of, and it's not just when they make a move. At any time, I get a lot of people tweeting me and saying, why don't they take a flyer on this guy? Why don't they take a flyer on that guy? Well, they are taking a flyer on a few guys. I mean, Lewis Cine is a guy that they're taking a flyer on. And a flyer meaning like, hey, it hasn't worked out. Doesn't look like he's, you know, able to play at this level, maybe, if what people thought he was. Let's take a flyer. He's only 2 years removed from being a number one draft pick. I'm sorry, a first-round draft pick, number 32 overall. Same draft as Kyrie Elam, which is very interesting. We kind of have some parallels there, right? Where Elam just hasn't hit yet. And, you know, what's going on with him with the Buffalo Bills? But Elam has kind of stepped up his game. He's made the team. He is one of the top four boundary corners on the team. Whereas Lewis Cine in Minnesota, a team that's going through a transition as well, like the Bills, obviously, a lot of people don't expect a lot from the Vikings. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Bills fans hope the Vikings aren't that good this year because the Bills have their second round pick this year. As it goes forward, though, Lewis Cine, as they went forward, a guy who came in, broke his leg early in his rookie year, four games in, never was able to get on the field after that. But as Matthew Collar, who was on yesterday with Shope, and others will tell you, it wasn't just the broken leg. He just never really developed or was able to jump in to help out the Minnesota Vikings the way that they thought. Now he comes to Buffalo. Now, the reason I'm bringing him up is, in case you didn't see, Lewis Cine, just a first-round pick from 2 years ago, signed with the Bills practice squad. And this is, to me, this is a flyer. This is a guy. This is the definition of a, what do we always say? Low risk, high reward. Really, what is the risk? You're putting him on your practice squad. You get 17 players because the Bills have the exemption for Kingsley Jonathan. So they get 17 players in their practice squad. Why not bring him in? And according to reports, the biggest reason why, or a big reason why, he decided to come to the Bills when other teams were recruiting him heavily, and it appeared he was going to the New York Jets, is because his college coach, Jamil Adai, is now a Buffalo Bills secondary coach. So there's some familiarity there. There's where a relationship matters, right? Hey, this guy can play. I've seen him play. I coached him. I know what he's all about. Let's bring him in. I don't know if it's going to work out. I don't know if Lewis Cine is ever going to see the field for the Buffalo Bills, ever get elevated. I don't know. If he's not, I this is one of those where I don't know what the harm is in seeing what the look is and seeing what you can do with him. Also, though, does it say anything about what the Bills feel themselves about their own safety position? It might, for sure. You know, I give my buddy Matt Bove a lot of garbage because he's always talking about Micah Hyde joining the team right now. And not that Micah Hyde won't join. I think there's always a possibility Micah Hyde could join the Bills. I just think it's not anything the Bills are interested in doing right now. And maybe Micah just, I would think Micah doesn't necessarily want to play right now. You know, maybe he might want to play at some point this year. But people ask me all the time, has Micah Hyde officially retired? No, he hasn't. And he doesn't have to. He could literally not retire. We could be talking a year from now he hasn't retired. And a team says, hey, you want to join us? The way I see that, and so anyway, circling back, so Matt in the press room the other day asked Brandon Bean about Micah Hyde, and he said, hey, we haven't closed the door, and I don't think he has either. So what does he mean? I don't think he has either, is basically the way he phrased it. It means that, like, hey, he's out there. We haven't really talked about it, yes or no. The way I read the Micah Hyde situation is the way I've always read the Micah Hyde situation, which is, yeah, if it happens, it happens later in the season. It's not something that the Bills are itching to do. The Bills want to see this. The Bills want to see this safety group succeed, folks. That's what they want. Like, if they called up Micah Hyde tomorrow, it would either have to be because, A, somebody got hurt, maybe multiple injuries actually it would take for, like, long term, or B, they just are really, really, really concerned about their safety group. I just don't think they are right now. Now, it doesn't mean they can't be a week from now, or 2 weeks from now, I guess, you know, after the game number one. But right now, it's, hey, we're going to roll with Taylor Rapp and Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop and DeMar Hamlin and Cam Lewis and see where we are. And as the season goes on, if that's not working, we have a guy that we can call up that knows our system to come in. And then the other side of it is, does Micah want to play? When does he want to play? Maybe he doesn't want to play right now. I mean, you know, training camp's over. 18 games, or 17 games, 18 week season, still a lot there. So I just don't think about Micah Hyde that much, to be quite honest with you. I know others do, and I always give Matt crap because I say on our Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, he's always mentioning him, and I always tell him you got to stop talking about Micah Hyde. But he might be right. Matt might be right when it comes to are they going to, and maybe Lewis seeing signing him is kind of a sign that the Bills are in that mold a little bit. That, hey, we need to kind of figure this out. Where are we? Think about the fact they brought Kareem Jackson back to the practice squad. Kareem Jackson is a veteran, knows the system. The two guys they brought to the practice squad at the safety position are, one, a veteran who's been in the league quite a while, and two, a first-round pick from 2 years ago. Guys that they were like, hey, like, if we need somebody, maybe we're going to lean on this guy, not just some developmental guy. You could call seeing that, but you know, he came in with a lot of traits and a high pedigree. The other guy that they signed, this Jalen Virgil. Jalen Virgil, apparently, like, he really struggled to leave Denver, who wanted him back on their practice squad, to come to Buffalo. But the report was that I had read that he decided to come to Buffalo because he believes that he might have a better path to the 53. Now, this may be a really, you know, maybe big statement, indictment on what others in the league think about the Bills wide receivers. And that's fine. And again, I'll go back to, it's kind of the same situation at safety. What the team thinks about what they have at the position doesn't have to be in line with what everybody else or other people think about what they have at the position. We all know, and we've all seen, that the Bills have had, you know, a lot of turnover here. And we've all talked about the turnover they've had at safety. No doubt. At wide receiver. And at safety, by the way, at wide receiver. And there's definitely concern, right? For a lot of people, there's definitely concern. What is it going to look like? We don't know. It's one of the biggest wonderings of this offseason. What does the wide receiver room look like? What do the wide receiver targets look like? How does Josh Allen navigate throwing to all these guys who never caught a pass from him other than Khalil Shakir? Where does Keon Coleman fit in? Where's your number one? You don't have a number one. That's right. No doubt about that. But Virgil, he comes in. This is a guy that he runs 4.4. This is his pre-draft time. I don't know if it's combine or pro day, but he is a 4.4 guy. So he's got some juice. He's got some speed. He's not like super small. He's not like, 5'9". They signed this guy, Codrington. They tried it for him. Codrington's a smaller guy. Daquan Hardy is a smaller guy. And this is a guy, he is a returner as well. Jalen Virgil, he can return. 6'2", 210. He's got a little more bulk to him than some of the other guys they've signed. But what he does, what's interesting to me is he is a guy that when you get the ball in his hands, he can make things happen. And I think the Bills, what's funny to me is what I've seen here the Bills transform into really over this entire offseason, but maybe specifically even over the last several weeks with, you know, KJ Hamler and what we saw him do in that final preseason game, and then trading for Brandon Codrington and still having Daquan Hardy on the roster and now bringing in Jalen Virgil. What I've seen the Bills kind of do here, and I think this is interesting to watch, they're collecting this talent that is, I don't want to say gadget, but guys that really could do some things with the ball in their hands that, you know, maybe they want to figure out how to incorporate that much more into their offense this year. And I don't know, maybe I'm just looking too far into it. Because what's the big knock on the receiving core this year? One of the big knocks. They don't have a guy to get down the field. They don't have a guy to separate down the field. That's really not Keon Coleman. He can separate. As I said, he separates more with his body than he does with his speed. Curtis Samuel is a fast player. It's not his specialty running down the field. He can do it. And he's done it. He did against the Bills last year in a game against Washington. His specialty is getting the ball in his hands, lining up all over the place. We know that's not Khalil Shakir's game. It's not Dalton Kincaid's game. It's not James Cook's game. Who am I missing? It's not Mac Hollins' game, right? So when we think about those guys, then I look at, okay, what is the game? Getting the ball in your hands, making plays, rack, rack, rack. We've heard about rack since really the owners' meetings. I remember going to the owners' meetings. Actually, the combine, which was before the owners' meetings. I'm sorry. At the combine in February, both Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talked about rack, talked about running after the catch. And then Sean McDermott at the owners' meetings and our AFC breakfast, AFC coaches breakfast, talked about, hey, the way teams are playing you now, too high shell, you got to get the ball into the guy's hands and let them make plays sometimes. Like, that's the way you can matriculate the ball down the field. And I see how they're collecting this talent now and thinking, okay, this is kind of making sense here that they're going to this model in some capacity. Now, these guys aren't on the team, 53, unless they get elevated. Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler, the Brandon Codrington is, right? So, but it just feels like they're creating this group that they're going to have some guys with this type of skill set that they're going to lean on at some point. Doesn't have to be week one, week five, but I bet you as the year goes on, I'm just going to make this prediction right now, right? August 30th, we're not even to September yet. I'm going to make this prediction right now. I bet you at some point in this year, we're going to be looking at the Bills and going, and their offense and going, oh, they kind of threw in a few more of those types of plays with players there. Those, I don't know, what do you want to say? Gadget plays, different kinds of just getting the ball in their hands of these guys, these faster guys, let them run after catch, whatever the play is. It doesn't have to be a play design, but these players, like, you're going to think about that a little bit. Think about how they've kind of moved their offense a little bit towards that. And if teams start to come up on it and they start to say, hey, we have to guard against that, that's when you hit them over the top with Josh Allen. I think that's the theory. That's the way I'm going, at least. And I also think that, you know, it helps, you know, if you can run with, you can run with James Cook, as he did last year with lighter boxes, because teams are backed off on you, and then you do that, and then they come up, and again. So I think that's the model they're going towards in looking at what they did on the practice squad moves yesterday. All right, we'll take a quick timeout here because, like I said, I'd like to do a timeout now and then get to a timeout at the bottom of the hour because John Wildhack, Syracuse AD, is going to join me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
First and 10 from the 11. Ogbonna, read option, handoff. Henderson starts right, cuts up the middle, bullseye! A.L.J. Henderson has the Bulls on the scoreboard with the first touchdown of the season.
And from there, they just kept on rolling. The UB Bulls last night. Paul Peck on the call on the Buffalo Bulls radio network here on the Bet 1520, our sister station. Great call last night. Great game last night for the UB Bulls. 208 rushing yards overall for UB. They roll up over 200 rushing yards. They roll up over 400 total yards. Great game to start for Pete Lembo. They are now 1-0. And just get you the schedule here. Next week, let's see. Next week at Missouri. All right, there's a challenge, right? They go to Missouri next week. That's a 7 o'clock Saturday night game next week. Big challenge there against Missouri. I have to even look now what conference. Is Missouri still in the SEC? Because every team seems like they're changing conferences now. Yeah, I think so, right? They're in the SEC, right? There you go. Yeah, just want to make sure. It is. It's incredible. It's something I'm going to talk with John Wildhack about now, coming up in a few minutes. John Wildhack, Syracuse Athletic Director, is going to join me at the bottom of the hour here after we take a timeout in a minute. And, I mean, this realignment stuff, it's crazy. So the ACC, can you, Josh, I got something for you, ready? I should have done this to Jeremy and Joe. I don't even think they could get it right. So no shame, all right? Could you name the schools in the ACC in football right now?
Oh, no way. There's been too much realignment that I just,
right.
I can't do it. I mean, obviously Syracuse, but.
Okay.
That's.
You have your normal, like, you're used to Syracuse, North Carolina,
yeah.
Boston College, Clemson, Duke, Louisville, Miami, Pitt. I mean, a lot of those haven't changed, right? Virginia Tech, Florida State, Georgia Tech, big win the other day. Okay, ready? Here comes SMU, Southern Methodist University in Texas, in the ACC now. Here comes Stanford. Yes,
like
Stanford
the
in,
one
California.
In California.
Yes.
That's
and,
crazy.
Oh, by the way, California. California, Cal, is in the ACC now. The Atlantic Coast Conference, they play on the Pacific Coast. It's wild. Anyway, we'll get with John Wildhack in a little while to ask him about scheduling, how that's all working, NIL, portal. Also, if you're heading to a Syracuse game, maybe you've been there before, maybe you haven't. I mean, when I went to the Dome, first time ever, I did the freshman stomp, they call it. There's like these little, when you go along the Dome, you kind of stand right next to it and you stomp your feet and the echo goes up and down the concrete. Boom, 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 boom. It sounds pretty cool. That's like what they teach you when you first show up on campus. I don't know. I still do that. Had Max do it. But when you walk inside, no more benches. It's now actual seats. So that'll be cool if you wind up going to a game at the Dome this year. Syracuse opens up tomorrow against Ohio. But we're going to talk with John Wildhack about all of that. NIL, portal, realignment. The way that college sports is going right now and where we are and where we're going to be. And then, of course, a little preview of Syracuse and the first game for Fran Brown as head coach. That's up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Tomorrow, Syracuse University, the Orange, open up against Ohio, 3:30 p.m. The JMA Wireless Dome in Syracuse. As I welcome in our next guest, we've been doing this every year for the last few years, and always my pleasure, Syracuse Athletics Director John Wildhack. I have to tell everybody a funny story here, and going to spring this on John and apologize to him, because last year, in January, I think it was, this past season, I took my son Max, my wife, and my mother-in-law to Syracuse for a basketball game, and you know, we try to get to a game or two every year if we can, and finally it worked out in the schedule. My mother-in-law was in town, so we all go to the Syracuse-Pitt basketball game. And Max, my 10-year-old son, I mean, he does it up. He's got the orange hair. He's got the chain. He's got the jersey on. I mean, he is just all in. He loves Syracuse, and he's a super fan, right? So he puts on the stickers, Otto the Orange stickers, and he says, Dad, here. And he puts an Otto the Orange sticker on my face. And I'm like, all right, you know, it's my son, and I love him. Let's go. So I got an Otto the Orange sticker on my face. After the game, I had actually never met John in person. But I said, I need to go meet John Wildhack to say, you know, hey, good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the radio. So I go down by the court. I see him. He's walking around. I go, hey, John, Sal Capaccio. And John, I think you looked at me like, who is this weirdo with an Otto the Orange sticker on his face? That was me. So it stuck with me ever since. And I apologize for that.
I like it, Sal. You know what? Really good wardrobe for that game. Really good wardrobe. You can wear an Otto the sticker anytime you want.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I love it. I love it. Thanks for always joining us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What I'd like to do with you is just start kind of big picture college, and then we'll narrow it down and tell everybody about the game tomorrow and, you know, get everybody out to the Dome if we can. Let's start, obviously, where, you know, a lot of people do with college athletic directors these days and NIL and portal. I'm curious, how much of your day and your team's day is spent kind of reading rulings, navigating how you have to do it, compliance, what's happening tomorrow, what's happening next week, and what's happening in the next 6 months?
Well, it's a significant amount of time. It's a really good question because it's been a really unsettled time. It still is. The potential settlement of the House case, legal case, would provide, you know, some degree of clarity going forward beginning next year, but it's still going to be really, really murky, I think, for a number of years. So we spent a lot of time on it, and, you know, as part of that, to answer your question, you know, I spend a good percentage of every day with NIL and in increasing, you know, increasing our NIL base, as does our overall athletics fundraising team. Because if you're going to be, it all used to be about bricks and mortar, sale, right?
Yeah.
And facilities still matter. And we're in a great place there. You know, the dome, unbelievable. The reseat was done over the course of the summer. It looks like a pro stadium when you walk in there. The Mello Center for Hoops is great. We have a new football performance center, well under construction. It'll open late winter, early spring. We checked the box there, Ensley Indoor Practice Facility. So we've got the facilities. Now what we're really focused on is we need to be competitive in the NIL space. And we are. We're not where we want us to be yet, but we've made a lot of progress. We need to make more, you know, going forward. And that's a key, you know, that's a key chunk of my day.
Tell me about that. How do you make sure you're competitive? What do you need to do? What are the steps you need to do to be competitive in this ever-changing landscaping, knowing where you fit in at Syracuse University and what's right for Syracuse, obviously?
Well, and that's a real, you know, we've got to do things which work for us, right? And you got to be smarter. And it's, you know, raising money is important, but you got to be smarter in terms, and you can be smart how you spend it. We hired a GM in men's basketball. Alex Klein, who was a scout for the Knicks. It's unbelievable the contacts and the information he has. We hired a data analyst, analytics specialist in men's basketball. So we've got to be really, really careful in our evaluation of whether they're high school recruits or kids in the portal, right? All right, somebody may be a really good player. Do they go to class? Are they a good teammate? They show up at practice on time. They conduct themselves the right way off the field, off the court. Are they a good locker room guy? You've really got to do, in some ways, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the NFL or the NBA.
Yeah.
You've got to know as much as you can about that individual person, you know, before you offer them a scholarship and an NIL opportunity.
I am the MC for the local chapter of Coaches versus Cancer. And last week we were down at St. Bonaventure, Mark Schmidt, all the college basketball coaches, a lot of people. One thing that came out of there in my conversations is a lot of it's retention. You really, and what you just said speaks to me as an NFL guy where you know your players better than everybody else knows. And if you have somebody and all of a sudden they're getting offers, tell me about retention and how important it is to kind of find the right way to keep players these days.
Critical. And the number one element of NIL and why you need to be competitive is to retain your best. Because when you have somebody who's an all ACC caliber player, you know, who conducts themselves the right way on the field, off the field, on the court, off the court, et cetera, that type of thing, you want to keep that person. So it's number one about retaining and retention. And you got to be competitive. It's not always the top dollar, but you need to be competitive. And then when you get guys out of the portal, you know, Kyle McCord's not our quarterback tomorrow unless we have a competitive NIL program. He's one series away last year at Ohio State probably from playing in a national championship game. They lost to Michigan on the last drive of the game. He came to Syracuse because we were competitive with NIL. He had an existing relationship with Coach Fran dating back to his Pee Wee football days in South Jersey. And candidly, he could have made more from other schools, but the fact that we put a competitive NIL package and the relationship, so relationships still matter as well. It's a combination of the two. If you do that, you can be successful. And I think we have the coaches and Coach Fran, Adrian Autry, obviously Felicia Leggett-Jack, who had great success at UB. So now it's, okay, let's build a competitive NIL program. And if we do that, we will keep our best and we'll be will be an attractive destination for whether it's high school players or transfer portal players.
Okay, I need you to put on your educator's hat for a minute. A lot of my listeners, even though they love college sports, we don't have a Power Five right here like you guys at Syracuse. Sure. And people in Syracuse understand this a little bit more and are into it. Can you please explain what the House ruling was about the $20 million and how that's all have to be kind of adjudicated across the board?
There's still a process before it gets approved by Judge Wilkin. We anticipate, college athletics anticipates, will get approved first quarter 2025. What it will do, beginning with the 2025-2026 season, schools will be able to directly share revenue with their student athletes in terms of, you know, athletics department generated revenue up to $20 million. So $20 million is the cap. That's the max a school can provide their athletes. There is no floor, so there is no minimal requirement. But obviously, being a Power Four school, if you're going to be competitive, you know, you've got to be at the cap or darn close to it. And then okay. we'll enter into contracts with our student athletes. So if you're our quarterback, Sal, we'll enter into a contract with you. You'll get paid over a period of time on a monthly basis. There'll be checks and balances in the contract, right? In terms of obligations that you have. Obligations in terms of academic performance, behavioral performance. If you go in the portal, you know, we'd be able to immediately terminate our NIL payments, et cetera, that type of thing. So it'll be a contract between the athlete and the school.
And then what about oversight to those contracts? Who oversees that? Where does the oversight come from? Is that NCAA compliance? How does that work?
Compliance. It'll be our compliance office. We're already building the model for that. Okay. It's yet to be determined what role the NCAA will play. So that's a good question that remains unanswered at this point.
All right. Are you confident that Syracuse will be able to be competitive with the $20 million, however you decide, and have you decided on the number if you're going to maximize that number?
I haven't decided on a number. We will be competitive. But we've got to figure out, I want us to be smarter too. I think we can. We're going to be asking people, we're going to be asking businesses. We really need businesses to support our NIL efforts. Really need businesses to step up.
I know Syracuse cares a lot about the Olympic sports, so traditionally maybe known as non-revenue sports, but however you want to put it, it's not just football and basketball. There are some schools that don't have football, so they can spread that money out to other programs. Have you thought about that? Is it going to hurt other programs? How will you, I mean, you just mentioned, like, hey, if I'm the quarterback, I'll tell you, my son Max, like, he says, Dad, I want to go to Syracuse. I'm like, son, get a lacrosse scholarship, right? I mean, you know, you can go to Syracuse there. Like, sports like that, how will you approach that, and what will be the impact on all of them?
I think, you know, we're looking at all our sports, and candidly, you're going to make decisions, and every athletic director, what sports you invest in, because you can be successful. Lacrosse is a really good example. And there may be sports that you still field, but those sports may look differently. Competition may look differently, maybe regional competition, et cetera, that type of thing. So we're all going to have to determine where we invest our resources.
John Wildhack, good stuff here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Last thing on NIL, Syracuse, I believe, has three collectives. Is that you can correct me if I'm wrong. Something that's been asked to me, and so I figured I'd ask you, is that something you'll kind of analyze and say, is that the best way to go about it? Should you streamline into one NIL collective?
Yeah, we have three now. We have Athletes Who Care, which is a 501c3, Orange United, and the SU Football NIL. And I think as we go forward, I think it's very likely that we bring it in-house and we'll consolidate.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. All right. So realignment. I was just quizzing my producer, Josh, on who's in the ACC these days because you're going all over the country now. How has that impacted Syracuse? What does it look like? What's the model look like going forward with realignment? You have Stanford and Cal and SMU now in the ACC. How is it now and how do you see the future shaping?
Yeah, I think... I was in favor of adding those three schools for a number of reasons. I think for the ACC to be in those markets in the Metroplex, in Northern California, in the San Francisco, Oakland market, it's great. It's great for the ACC network. We have a really big alumni base in California, so they're excited about our teams coming out to play there this year. Football, we play at Cal in November. and both our basketball teams will play at Cal and Stanford this year. And it'll be, you know, two games in one trip. So it's, you know, for us, I like it. We got a national brand. I think it's good for us to play on the West Coast. I think it's good for us to play in Dallas. We have a small but growing alumni base there. We also recruit our undergraduate student enrollment. California is one of the largest states for our undergraduate enrollment, and Texas is growing. So it fits, you know, some of the profiles and some of the priorities of the university in terms of enrollment as well.
I know you you spent time at ESPN, and you really understand maybe better than a lot, maybe any AD around the country, the TV part of this. How much does TV play a role in everything that's happening here? Is it all of it, basically?
Definitely has a role, no question about that. But I think there's a misconception out there that, you know, that ESPN calls up the conference and says, you know, do this, and the conference does it. At the end of the day, it's the presidents and the chancellors that vote on membership of, you know, if the conference decides to expand or not, not ESPN, not Fox, not CBS, not NBC.
All right, tomorrow, 3:30 p.m., Ohio at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing these pictures of the dome. It looks fantastic, John. Tell everybody about some of the changes that you've made. This has been something that's been going on for the last several years, obviously. If you drive along Syracuse, you go up 81, you see the top of the dome. It's lit up. It's great. But now inside the dome as well, some big changes.
Yeah, we totally reseated the building over the summer, so all the metal benches and aluminum, you know, that was 45 years old and really uncomfortable, that's all gone. So it's all chairback seating throughout the entire JMA Wireless Dome, 43,000 chairback seats. It looks great. It's going to be more comfortable for our fans. We've enhanced our wayfinding capabilities in and around the dome so people can get around there easier. We've added new concession offerings as well. We've revamped the game day experience, and actually the game day experience starts 3 hours before kickoff at 12:30 with Cuse on the Quad, where Sal, you can come, you can have, you know what, you have food, have drink, you're under a tent. We'll have the other games on from tomorrow, so you can watch the noon games, have a great time, relax, have a beer, have something to eat. And then we're also, and this is Coach Fran wanted to do this, is we're going to institute the Quad Walk, which will be 2 hours and 15 minutes before kickoff. And they'll march right in front on the Quad through by Hendricks Chapel. The band will be there, and it's a way for our fans to engage in the team and vice versa.
I can also put an Otto the Orange on my face if I do that. Could be a
you
part
certainly
of that.
May.
All right, so tomorrow, obviously, Fran Brown, the era begins, Fran Brown era. I mean, this guy, I just love him. He just, every time I watch him speak, every time I see what's going on at Syracuse, I'm pumped up. I know a lot of the alumni base is pumped up. And I always joke, with total respect when I say this, I know the dude can recruit. Now we got to find out if he can coach. What have you seen from Fran Brown and what he's doing with the football team?
Well, I'm pleased with the staff that he's hired. He's got really good experience on the staff. Jeff Nixon's got a ton of NFL experience. Michael Johnson has NFL experience. You know, Elijah Robinson, our DC, one of the most respected defensive coaches in the country. Robert Wright, who is at the University of Buffalo, really good coach. So I think he's hired really good coaches. They're smart guys. I like the support staff around them. Our strength and conditioning staff's done a remarkable job. Our player personnel, recruiting, Nate McNeil, our GM. So I'm pleased with the entire operation that he's assembled. And, yeah, I think through camp, I was really impressed with the physicality, the competitiveness of our camp, and the efficiency of our practices. So, you know, Fran worked the last 2 years. He worked under Kirby Smart, and Kirby learned from Nick Saban, who's the best. Before Kirby, worked for Matt Rhule at Temple and Baylor, and they went to Temple, who was terrible. They made him a top 25, went to Baylor, who was terrible at the time, made them a top 25. Matt Rhule is a really successful college coach. Then he went to Rutgers and Greg Schiano, and the only time Rutgers football has been good is when Schiano's the head coach. So he's got a really good pedigree. He's ready for this, and he's prepared for the last 20 years his adult life for tomorrow, and I'm confident that he's ready.
And to tie it to the Bills, I know he recruited both Deion Dawkins and Tyler Matakevich to Temple. Also, Terrell Bernard to Baylor. I spoke with all three of them last year when he was hired, and they just raved about him. The relationships, that was the big thing for me, John, was they just said, listen, like, he is going to be totally straight and honest with you. And kids want to hear that these days, especially with everything that's going on.
You're right. And it's everybody that I spoke to, and I really did my due diligence in terms of Coach Fran. The three things every person said, Sal, is he's genuine, he's authentic, and he's a great family person. And he is genuine, he is authentic, he's got a great family, he's devoted to them, vice versa. And it's interesting, you know, it's he will tell recruits and he will tell their parents, like, it will be hard here. If you don't like hard, don't come to Syracuse, because we're going to push you. We're going to push you from a football perspective, an academic perspective, to grow as a person. We're going to teach you financial literacy. You're going to graduate. He lays out a plan where you can get your undergrad degree in 3.5 years. Well, you know, sometimes recruiters, oh my gosh, you know, they're just, you know, they're salesmen, right? Mm-hmm. He recruits so effectively because of what Ed, how genuine and authentic he is. And it's really interesting. I've seen him in recruiting breakfast when he gets up there and says, it will be hard here. If you don't like hard, don't come here. By the way, if you want to accomplish anything in your life, you better embrace hard.
I love it. Hey, November 23rd, Dick McPherson being honored by Syracuse University. My first year on campus was Coach P's first year. So I missed Coach Mack, actually. He had gone to the NFL. But I think a lot of people, you know, they look back so fondly on those years that he impacted Syracuse University. Just tell us a little bit about that and that day.
Well, we look forward to he'll be the 9th inductee into the Ring of Honor. And the other coaches that are in there now are Coach Boeheim, Roy Simmons, who won 5 national championship in men's lacrosse, Coach Schwartzwalder, who won the 1959 national championship team. So Coach Mack is going in with a esteemed group of coaches. Coach Mack's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He really resurrected this program, because when he took over, this program was not in a good place. And he rebuilt the program, highlighted by the 87 team, which was undefeated, and really put it on a trajectory for 20 years of success. Besides that, again, his connectivity with the community, he loved Syracuse, and Syracuse loved Coach Mack. And he gave back so much to this community. This one was kind of a pretty easy decision. He belongs in the Ring of Honor, and it'll be a special day. We'll honor him at halftime. Obviously announced it a couple of days ago at the press conference. It was great to have one of his daughters and his grandson there. He's just someone that's, even though he's been gone for a while, still has, is revered, I think is the right word. He's revered in this community.
And I know Fran Brown, Coach Brown, really has made a push to make sure he reconnects to a lot of the alumni. And I know that that means a lot to a lot of people who played at Syracuse football and obviously, you know, connect to Syracuse in other ways. Okay, last thing. Thank you so much for your time. Give your best promotion for tomorrow here in Western New York. If anybody wants to take a nice drive down the 90 to go see Syracuse open the Fran Brown era against Ohio.
Here we go, Sal. It's football season. It's football season. I know the Bills open against the Cardinals next Sunday.
Yep.
Get a jump on your football. Come on down tomorrow. Good seats available. Cuse.com/tickets so you can buy tickets online. Come early. Cuse on the quad at 12:30. Have something to eat. Have something to drink. You can watch the early games. Clemson, Georgia's at noon, so you can watch that. And then come on into the dome. It'll be 71 degrees and beautiful inside the dome. And hopefully we'll create some great memories tomorrow.
And you have great seats now, and you can put an Otto the Orange on your face if you'd like as well.
Incredibly comfortable. As many Otto stickers as you want, and come enjoy our new comfortable chair back seats.
John, I always enjoy our chats. I know I kept you a little long today, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing this once again and speaking to the Western New York community about Syracuse athletics.
Thanks, Sal. I appreciate it. Go Orange. Go Bills.
All right. You got it. That is John Wildhack on the West Her Hotline. And I'll tell you, the big thing for me is, again, yes, I went to Syracuse. I know I have the connection. The big thing for me is to bring somebody like that on Power 4. I kept saying Power 5 because of the realignment. It's Power 4 now. And to bring someone like that on to talk about what's happening in the world of college athletics and college sports, who are the Power 4 now? The ACC, the Big 10, the Big 12, the SEC. Who did I not mention? The Pac-12. Used to be the Pac-10. Pac-12. It's basically gone. I mean, it is a conference, I think, now. But let's see, what do they... Well, I guess the Pac-8, and then it was the Pac-10, became the Pac-12. It's just sad, man. It's just sad. Oh, yeah. Two members. Do you know that? Here you go, Josh. I know I put you on the spot earlier, but listen. The Pac-12, I'm going to read this. The Pac-12 currently has two full member institutions. Two. Amazing. Let's see. Football, photo, subdivision, Pacific Coast. I'm trying to read about now because remember, that went away. Cal at the ACC. Stanford in the ACC. Pretty amazing to think about it. So, yeah. It's just college athletics. By the way, if I didn't tell you, it's Oregon State and Washington now who are in the Pac-12. That's it. They're going to play every game. Just have them play a full season against each other, round robin, home and home, back and forth. John Wildhack right there on the Western Hotline here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. All right, we have a lot more college football to get to over the next several, I mean, even tonight. More games tonight. How many games tonight? We had 30 last night. Hold on. Let me see. I'm not going to count them all for you. But tonight we have anything? Okay, Oklahoma tonight. FAU at Michigan State. Okay, there's not as many, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I will count them. Looks like 6. I'm sure there's some lower levels, but I'm looking at on my app here. It's showing me 6. TCU against Stanford, baby. Stanford, there we go. ACC. Where's TCU these days? Big 12. I got to look it up. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Alex Braske is going to join me, and we're going to talk a little bit about you know, the Buffalo Bills and what they've done here over the last several days, where they sit going into week number one in the National Football League. I'd like to at some point today, and I don't know if I can have time to necessarily do this because we're going to do a lot more on it next week, but at some point today, I kind of like to look at week one. I'm just really, really excited for week one in the NFL and what it looks like on paper, at least for some of these teams and where they are. So we'll do that at some point today as well. Alex Braske, Batavia Daily, also Bills Digest. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Alex Braske because he's joining me next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.